Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Wow, Judy, that was that was amazing. You may not recognize the growth, the effort, the practice, the all that Judy has put into becoming the song leader that she is today. But I'll tell you what, I realize it, and it's amazing. And Judy, you're really, yeah. Well, you blow me away, and I just I get lost. And I started just going, oh wow, that's amazing, and then I just stop playing altogether, and I just start to worship God as you play like that and sing like that, and you pour yourself right out, and it's evident. And God is, God is blessed, God is worshiped, God is praised in that. So well done. Not that you need to hear well done, but I think we do need to hear well done. We ought to aspire to grow in our giftings. Amen? Aspirations are not a bad thing. In fact, it would seem in God's word, they're a good thing. They're a very good thing. As I shared last Sunday, I believe it was last Sunday, sometimes it feels like a year ago, but it was last Sunday, I do believe, that we talked about how Moses was held to a higher standard by God. And I believe I defended that supposition quite well. You remember how Moses had, well, he led the Israelite nation. Anyways, why don't we, I've got to refocus, why don't we just bow our heads in prayer if we could. And Lord God, we want so very much to be in your word right now, to be hearing what you have to speak to our hearts today, and that we would be single-minded and in one spirit as we do so. God, cracked vessel here, bringing wonderful light. I pray, Lord, that I would not hinder it in any way, but rather the light would shine brighter for all the cracks. And pray your blessing in your wonderful name. Amen. Yes, so Moses, he had led the people, out of Egypt, but not into the promised land, out of Egypt and into the wilderness, out of Egypt and through every sort of challenge and difficulty, and they strived, and Moses, oh, he had a time with those people, and on this one occasion, we remember that Moses was instructed by God to speak to the rock, to take that staff and to stand and speak to the rock, and that the rock would then bring forth streams of water. Well, Moses in his frustration struck the rock twice, and he said, "Must we fetch water for you also?" And well, we know that God was not well pleased with that. In fact, God said, for that display, if you will, this disobedience, this dishonoring, Moses was prevented from crossing over the Jordan into the promised land. And maybe that seems harsh, and I wrestled with that, and that we as leaders, as priests and prophets, as they are in the Old Testament, well now in the New Testament, well, we are held to a higher accountability. And I hope I didn't present it as a bad thing. It's a good thing to be held to a higher accountability. Quite frankly, I want to be held to a higher accountability in every aspect. I think back to when I played sports. I wanted to be the guy that was called upon in that last minute of play. If we were down by 6 points and we needed a touchdown, and it was do or die, it was third down and we are gambling and we have got to go in for the touchdown, a field goal won't do it, and I got into that huddle, I really wanted them to call my number. I really wanted them to throw me the ball. I wanted to be the guy, not so that I could feel really good about myself, because there would be some who would say, yeah, but what if you drop it? I mean, then you're the goat. I didn't want to be the hero nor the goat. I just wanted to make sure we win the game. I wanted, call on me, because I'm going to catch it. If you throw it anywhere in my neighborhood, I'm going to catch it. I promise you, if I'm running that way, you throw it that way, I'm going to do everything I can to catch it. I am going to die trying. That was my attitude then, and that is my attitude now when it comes to pretty much anything I do. I hope that you're still seeing that in a good way. I'm not boasting. So it's not boasting. I didn't want him to throw it to the guy who was uncertain, the one that's just, oh, okay, throw it to me, but, you know, I'm the guy that's just, like, if I have to climb over three guys to get it and poke dudes in the eye and anything, I won't say what all I would do, but I would do it. And that was my aspiring to win. And we are called to run in such a way as to win and to fight the good fight of faith. And so we can see that translates rightly. It's not proud, but to aspire. Now, there are numerous examples of, men of God being held and women of God being held to a higher standard. We saw that in David, in Saul, in different priests, the sons of Eli. We see that, and rightly so. And we see it in the New Testament as well. It is not a bad thing to aspire. In fact, God's word says we are to spur one another on to greater works. If we're spurring each other on, we're not only supposed to strive and try to improve and do more, we're supposed to encourage that in each other. Come on, we can do this. And to encourage one another to not sit pat, if you will, to not be satisfied where you are. Christianity is a walk. It's not a sit. It's not a stay. It's a walk. It's a very important thing. I remember a quote I saw recently. Martin Luther King had said this so many years ago. If you can't fly, run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. But by all means, keep moving forward. If you're not gaining ground, you're losing ground. By all means, keep moving forward. This is sound advice by a man of God. 1 Corinthians 12:31 says, earnestly desire the greater gifts. It says, like, don't even be satisfied with gifts. Earnestly desire greater gifts. This is important again. And we are to practice these fruit of the Spirit, the gifts that we are given. We are to practice them and increase in them. And to that it would be evident and increasingly so. And as Judy shared, it was last Sunday night, I do believe, the scripture in Romans 3:4, not only so, but we also glorify in our suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance and perseverance character and character hope. We see a progression, an increasing, a moving forward, produces to the next and so on. This is a good thing by all means. And we look at examples that Jesus shared about the talents. You remember the ones who were given 1, 5, and 10 talents, if I'm remembering rightly. And the steward who was quote unquote lazy, he did not hear a well done, good and faithful. In fact, he heard something else. To the one who had increased the 5, and the one who had increased the 10. Well done, good and faithful. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Now, I don't think we have to wait until the judgment day to hear those words, ladies and gentlemen. I think this can happen throughout our walk. That we can hear from the master, well done, good and faithful. You have been faithful over little. I will make you steward over much. Then it stands to reason. A young youth pastor who is faithful in a small fledgling youth group, but he builds it and he works faithfully and prayerfully and self-sacrificing, and he sees it grow. And God blesses that, and man blesses that, and agrees with that, and says, you know, we see that success, we see that aspiration. You weren't satisfied with, well, I have a nice little youth group of 6 or 8 or 10. We're just going to leave it like that. It's nice. Problem with that is youth grow up, and then they're no longer in youth group. Now you were happy with that group, and then 3 to 5 years later, you have no one. And we all look at that and go, oh, yikes. Where was the growth? Well, we hear what the master had to say to the one who did not produce an increase. He had been given such a little amount, one talent. And the master said to him, "You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I scattered no seed." God expects an increase. An increase in us, an increase in our productivity, an increase in our walk. Absolutely, a going forward. If you are the same as you were 5 years ago, you're worse off. If you have not grown in your walk, and the danger of it is that we get to a certain age. I mean, old Kendra, she's growing in the Lord. I know she is. And Joe is growing in the Lord. And young people are growing in the Lord. And then we get to a plateau. And we're good. We can even say that about us. We're good. And we even slip a little. We get comfortable. Kind of like a church gets comfortable and falls into traditions and into ways of doing things. No longer hungry, no longer striving, no longer going forward, no longer reaching the lost. A dangerous place to be. Keep growing, keep going forward. And if you cannot fly, you should run. And if you cannot run, you should walk. And if you cannot walk, you should crawl. Absolutely right. And then you remember Jesus as he had passed that fig tree. And it wasn't even in season, and there were no figs. And he cursed it, and it died. Now, I've read commentaries that suggest, well, it wasn't in season for figs yet. But he could tell, because there would have been the little fig buds on there. And so he cursed it because he knew its future wasn't going to be very productive. I suggest it is what it is. It wasn't even in season. That we are to produce fruit in season and out of season and all the time. Like we heard last night, if you were at the Gideon banquet, he says, yeah, you say in 4 months there's a harvest, but I say the harvest is now. So stop waiting. Don't think 4 months and it'll be in season. But no, now is the time. This is an interesting thing that Jesus said, no, you should have an answer for your faith in season and out of season. I read that somewhere. We need to be having a ready answer. I believe the word ready answer in season and out of season. Jesus did not bless that unproductive fig tree as he walked by it. He actually said, curse you. And it withered and died. And his disciples, they marveled at that. And just, whoa, my goodness, what's the deal with that? Well, the deal is we need to be producing. We need to be going forward. We need to be bearing much fruit. Absolutely much fruit. You know, I was reading, and if you're in the Berean study, you're reading, you've been in Joshua recently, into the book of Joshua. Great study, great read, and great men of God. We'll go to Joshua 14, because whenever we get together in God's house, we need to break bread together. And here's the word. Number Joshua 14, beginning at verse 10. It's Caleb. Verse 10 of Joshua 14. Now, behold, the Lord has let me live, says Caleb, just as he spoke these 45 years from the time that the Lord spoke the word to Moses when Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am 85 years old today. Maybe it's his birthday too. I don't know. There you go. 85 years old today. I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now. For war and for going out and for coming in. Now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day, for you heard on that day that Anakin were there. Pardon me. With great fortified cities, perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out as the Lord has spoken. So Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, until this day, because he followed the Lord God of Israel. How much? Fully. Wonderful. Now the name of Hebron was formerly Kiriath Arba, for Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. You remember what the Anakim are? Who the Anakim are? They were giants. Yar, they be giants in that land. They be great men, mighty, powerful men. And what did the Israelites, you know, they weren't pirates, yes. The Israelites weren't pirates, but remember when they came after their little spy mission, the 12 of them came back, the 12 young men that Moses had sent out, 10 of the 12 said, they are giants and we are like grasshoppers in their sight. And that's how we feel. We are little and they are enormous. And well, you remember that Caleb said, not so. God is with us. God will give them to us. We shall be victorious. This was Caleb's attitude at that time, and it was a right attitude. But it cost him 40 years of wandering with the Israelite nation because of their unbelief, not even his own. That is something in itself. But Caleb's faith was showing back then, and even in the story we're reading tonight. In verses 10 through 12, I suppose some might think he's bragging, but it's a bragging faith. It's a faith in God. Just as the Lord has promised, he has kept me alive. God said so, and he did so. Praise God. 45 years, here I am today, 85 years old. And you would think at 85, he'd be ready to hang it up. My goodness, he should be, in our day and age, he should be 20 years into a very comfortable retirement. 85 years old, he's saying, I'm still as strong today as I ever was. And I'm still as certain today as I ever was. That is something. I'm just as vigorous to go out and battle now as I was then. Now give me that hill country. And in some transcripts you'd say, give me that mountain. I love that. Give me that mountain. And I will take it for the Lord. Hallelujah. Give me that mountain that the Lord promised me that day. God had said, wherever your feet have walked, wherever your feet have touched, that shall be yours. And Caleb, I mean, he could have picked one spot or another. He walked about. Why did he pick that spot specifically? Well, that's where the giants are. He didn't say, give me the lowlands. Give me the safer places. He said, I want that high country. I want to go where the giants are. Because remember what I said 45 years ago? Still holds true today, he's saying, that God will give it to us. I'm going to prove it. I've got something to prove, and it's not me, it's God. You yourself heard, 12b, you yourself heard that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord is helping me. I will drive them out just as he said, just as God said. Hallelujah. Yeah. Caleb, he says, the Lord promised, the Lord promised, the Lord is helping me. That is what he has to say about this. Here is a man who has learned to trust in God's promises. Now, this is not name it and claim it. That's just nastiness. That's just silliness. But by all means, when God makes you a promise, God will keep his promise. Every promise God has made has either come to pass or shall come to pass. And heaven and earth will not keep that from coming to pass. God's word cannot be broken. Amen. It is impossible for God to lie. That's what I heard in the word. Impossible. So for God to speak a promise that does not come to pass would be impossible. by good reason. Give me that mountain. Give me that mountain. That mountain where the giants are. I think it was his for the asking. God had promised it to him, and it was right there waiting. Even though we looked like grasshoppers in their eyes, 10 of the men cried out. But Caleb said, bring them on. They're no match for the Lord. Sort of like David that way. One giant David faced. Caleb and his band faced a whole city of giants. How cool. How very cool. At 85 years old, Murray. Man. Just think, in 20, 30 years from now, you know, there'll be some giants in the land yet for you to take down. How about that? Why not? Why not? Quite frankly, if you think, I thought I was too old. Listen, I got called to the ministry. Well, you know, you might have noticed by now. I hope you think I was called at this point. You're still not sure. Well, we're in trouble. But I was in my mid-30s, and I thought I was doing everything I could for the Lord. I was really happy to do it in the hopes that he would not call me to ministry. I really mean that. I was willing to drive the Sunday school bus. I was even happy to go under the Sunday school bus, anything. I was ready to teach Sunday school, choir, I was vice president of men's group. I would do any drama thing they wanted. I was going to every camp event, anything and everything. Hey, Jude? Anything and everything. Just, Lord, please don't call me to Bible college. I'll do anything but that. I will serve you free of charge in the church. I was really a pastor's dream, right? To have a guy that said, you know, what do you need? What do you want? I'll do it. You know, anything, absolutely anything. No, I'll load kids in my car. No, we can't afford a bus or a van. Well, I'll make 5 trips. Not a problem. It's only a half hour each way. No big deal. Anything, Lord, anything. But please don't send me to Bible college because, you know, I just don't want to. And plus, I can't do it. I can't afford it. I'm not smart enough to do it. It's impossible. I have a family. Let me see. What else can I put in the way? I have babies. I have little children. I have bills to pay. I have debts. I am not that smart. You remember when I was in high school, Lord? I mean, I was a failure. And, you know, I'll just do worse yet. And, you know, what with my history, I can't even remember anything. I have this terrible Swiss cheese of a memory, and I put every obstacle in the way. And the Lord said, yeah, you're going. You're going. And I said, well, okay, here's the deal. And I'm not kidding. I had this conversation. Okay, Lord, when my debts are gone, when I have enough money to cover my first year, and I can see a way for my family to not suffer financially, that we have enough for me to go, and there's still money coming in, and bills continue to get paid, I will go. You know, I thought that was a great obstacle. I was looking at my financial situation. At least 5 years, and I'm sure by then I'm going to need to buy some other things, and some other situation will get in the way. And that should pretty much stop God in his tracks for good. Well, within months, my financial situation was just changing ridiculously so. I mean, I can't tell you all the stories today, but it was just here, there, and everywhere. And you might go, oh, well, you think God is only about blessing you with money? No, God was making a way and knocking down every obstacle that I had put up in front of him, every fleece, if you will. And he just made a way for me to go. And then I had no room left to wiggle. I was done. It was only a couple of months later. I know I said that. I wish I hadn't. And I'd said, Lord, you know, if and when situation presents itself that I can afford it and we can do this and my debt situation is less and so. Well, it happened. And here I am registering for Bible college, scared to death. I am feeling convicted and called, but oh, I needed confirmation. And God confirmed it in numerous ways through just all kinds of circumstances that I needed to have happen, just to show me that he was calling me, just to give me a sense of, just a certainty that I was not off on a crazy tangent, to feel that I was indeed going the way I ought to go. How important was that? Well, God did that. God showed me the way I should go. And he confirmed it again and again through circumstance, through people. Oh, he blessed me all the way along. And not only did I end up going to college, in my last year, Judy starts her first year. Well, that was really unusual. But and again, I doubted God. We can't do that. Next thing you know, Judy's in Bible college taking full-time classes, and I'm finishing, and we're just blessed. We are blessed. We come out of Bible college. Judy, you know how competitive Judy is. And, oh, it's just awful. We got to pray for that. And she was so driven to get better marks than me, and she almost did. That's what I'm saying. We aspired for perfection. We really did during our Bible college days. If you're going to go and do something for the Lord, do it with all your might. Do it as unto the Lord. And you know, isn't that what we're supposed to do with everything? Do with every work as unto the Lord? Do it with all your might. Your utmost for his highest. Isn't that how it goes? Isn't that wonderful? And we can boast about that. Absolutely. Absolutely. I just think about our man Caleb again, and how he was convinced by God. He was promised by God, and Caleb carried that faith with him. And that faith carried him 40 years, and then finally said, okay, it's time. Now, I know there are some people here tonight that are feeling called to do something more for the Lord. And there are people who maybe thought they were done and they were good. Quite comfortable now. This is good. And there are people here that are just, you know, maybe even slipping back a little. Just they've been stagnant, not going forward. And that can be any one of us. There's nothing wrong with you coming to that place tonight and saying, you know, yeah, that's me. That's me. One of those is me. In fact, it's a good thing. The one that leaves here saying, no, I can't relate at all. No, God isn't calling me. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. God wants more of you. God wants to say, well done, good and faithful. And not just at the end of your days. I think God wants to be able to say, well done to you every day. Your father wants that of you. Every father wants that of their son, their daughter. It's a healthy thing to aspire, to be ambitious for God, to want more. I tell you what, it was sure nice to see all the youth in this place today. Wasn't that wonderful? It was sure nice to write a 3-digit number for attendance today. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to see our church growing. It's not a good thing to see it shrinking. It's a good thing to see that side of the church filling up with people on Sunday morning. It's wonderful to see people looking for a spot to seat and somebody being in their spot. That's a good thing. That's great. And then they have to sit somewhere else. And then they meet new people and hear somebody else singing behind them and go, oh, how are you? And yeah, maybe front row. Hey, Pastor Andrew, that'll be your spot. Right on. You'd be distracting me with those green shoes. And, you know, folks, we need to be praying for growth in this church, for growth in our influence as a church, for growth in our ministries as a church. We need to be praying for just numbers, absolutely, for everyone to come in here and know the Lord. We need to be in prayer about who we personally ought to be inviting. There's this idea out there. There's invite a friend to church Sunday. Isn't that a sad thought? That they have to have one Sunday a year that we invite a friend to church. I think it should be every Sunday. invite a friend to church Sunday should be every Sunday of the month. Should be the first, second, and then the third, fourth, and even the, if there's a fifth Sunday. We should have that. Now, I understand when they focus on it, maybe somebody will actually do it. But we ought to be doing it every Sunday. We should be inviting people, bringing them. If somebody puts up an obstacle like, I don't have any way to get there, I'll pick you up. I'll bring you. Whatever the reason. No. And then give them another call for Saturday evening. Bring them to church. We need to aspire to grow and build up this church, this work of the Lord. And, you know, in doing so, we're going to have more laborers, more brothers and sisters in Christ, greater influence, a stronger voice in this community. How wonderful. How wonderful. Now, there's one other fellow in these same pages. I think of Joshua when he first led the people across the Jordan. And God directed them thusly in Joshua 3, verse 4. There shall be between you and it, the ark, a distance of about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may not know the way which you shall go. For you have not passed this way before. Interesting. I wondered about that. So keep your distance, he's saying. Keep your distance from the ark. We're going to have the priests carrying the ark before you. And you stay back. Keep your distance. Why? Well, God said, spread out so everybody can see it. All of you, do you see the ark? Keep your eyes on that. Do you see the presence of God? Keep your eyes fixed on that. You need to know the way you should go. It wasn't stay back, don't get anywhere near that. It's dangerous, and oh my goodness, if you touch it, you're dead. You need at least 2,000 cubits of distance. Well, he's saying, stay back so we can all see it. Because we are going somewhere we've never gone before. Fantastic. That's what God was saying to Joshua and the people. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Get your direction from him. You need to go in a direction you've never gone before. They came in one way, but they went out another. Never the same. You know, we need to grow and to take new ground. We need to go forward and go places we've never been before. In our walk, in our faith, in our prayer life. Folks, we need to do that. I'm so glad you're here. I am so glad you are here tonight. Because I've got to tell you, the greatest hindrance to you realizing your God-given potential is you. The greatest hindrance to this church realizing its God-given potential is us. The greatest assurance, the greatest strength and power available to us is God. Stands to reason, it's prayer. This evening, I want to encourage you to look to God, to get in some time of prayer, to ask God where he would have you to go, have you to do. Confess, maybe you've gotten a wee bit comfortable. I have. And that we have maybe stopped going forward, aspiring for more, being driven as much as we once were. Maybe got tired, got weary, got discouraged. But that wasn't God. That was man, that was circumstance, that was you, that was distraction. Let's get on with it. Let's go forward. Jude, come forward and I would suggest we need to spread out. We need to look at where God is taking us. We need to just look to the Lord and in faith take the next step. Somebody's taking big steps. They're going to Bible college. That is so cool. I'm so glad for you. You're walking out in faith and walking into something awesome. It's good. It's absolutely good. God isn't calling you to fail. He's calling you to greater faith. He's calling you to do something marvelous. So, yeah, great example of one who's stepping out. We have our own Caleb. Her name's Joe. But we have others in this place, and every one of us is called to greatness. Every one of us, God wants more from. Your God-given potential is still ahead of you. Man, especially you folks, you young ones. I mean, you know, if you're 15 or 17 or 2011 or whatever your age is, I don't know what your age is. That's cool. But what if you're 85? Nobody here is 85. And Caleb says, I still want that mountain. I still want to do that. Nobody is exempt here tonight. So let's pray. Lord, if I spoke too long, if I was distraction, Lord, I pray instead that what was essential is heard, that it would come back. Lord, we want that mountain, a mountain in our lives, a thing, the promise that we believed for years ago that we have perhaps never seen come to pass. I remember a word from you 10 years ago. I'm still looking for that, Lord. You gave me a picture of faith, of a future day, and I have not seen it yet. And I think I was ready to quit on it, wondering if that was just me. But Lord, I still want that mountain. There are others here tonight, God. I pray that you would bring to their remembrance that thing that they prayed for, that place they believed for, that opportunity, that ministry, that whatever it be, God, speak to their hearts even now. My God shall provide all my needs. If you have put into us a desire, an aspiration of sorts, then I know you will not fail us, because God, you never disappoint. So, church, so family, as Judy plays, would you please take some time around the altar, if not for you, if for another, for our young people, for whoever. We need to call on the Lord tonight.